Welcome to Crown of Life Baptist Church.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade,
saints and angels song.
Good morning, Central Indiana. You are listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church, currently meeting at the Wyndham Hotel Noblesville. We invite you to join our Sunday morning service at 10 o'clock, preparing hearts to embrace God's Word and desiring His coming kingdom. God is calling sinners to the cross, and He is calling believers to the crown. Enjoy today's program with Pastor Greg DeZula. Be listening to the end of today's program for opportunities on how you can support this radio ministry. Jesus said, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life."
Happy 4th of July, Indiana. I would like to read to you this morning the beginning of the beautiful, indelible, enduring, and memorial words of the Declaration of Independence, penned by the Honorable Thomas Jefferson and signed in Philadelphia by the Philadelphia Colonial Congress 246 years ago, July 4th, 1776. The unanimous declaration of the 13 United States of America. When in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Prudence, indeed, will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes. And accordingly, all experience has shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations pursuing invariably the same object evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty, to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. We are witnessing an unprecedented attack upon these liberties Americans once cherished, and that the Constitution of the United States enumerated and guaranteed. The unprecedented riots, the outright rebellion to the moral law of God, and the atrocities in our cities and the political malfeasance of the Marxist, Socialistic, Communistic, Democratic Party to remove a duly elected Republican president all point to the mystery of iniquity that the Apostle Paul warns us to be on guard against. An end-time prophecy by the prophet Jeremiah speaks of the mental insanity that will come upon the whole world. He says in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 51, verse 7, Babylon has been a golden cup in the Lord's hand that made all the earth drunken. The nations have drunken of her wine, therefore the nations are mad. The Lord, when speaking of madness here in this prophecy, is not speaking of anger or wrath, but insanity. Much like when King David faked insanity before the Philistine king of Gath in 1 Samuel chapter 21. This Babylon is the same Babylon spoken of in the book of Revelation chapter 17 and 18. It is not speaking about a literal city. It is speaking about the gods and the principles of Babylon that have been transposed from Babylon in Syria to the or Iraq to the Vatican City, called in capital letters. We see in Revelation chapter 17, called in capital city, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, the abomination of the earth. She is also known as the great whore, which is that great city which sitteth upon seven hills, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. She sits upon the city, declaring herself the queen of heaven. The unrest in America and around the world is her doing. She has unceasingly perverted truth. Former Congressman Ron Paul made this brilliant observation that is manifesting itself before our very eyes. Truth is treason in an empire of lies. The Lord tells the church to occupy till he comes and to resist the devil. The spiritual battle today for the saints of God is overwhelmingly greater than the battles fought on the fields by our forefathers against the Redcoats 245 years ago. We are fighting a craftier and more deceptive foe than ever before. We want to congratulate the Supreme Court last Friday for their ruling on the Roe versus Wade case, overturning that case, and ruling on the Dobbs case. And I want to read some points to you from a letter that I've written to both the governor, my state senator, and my state representative. And I want to encourage you to write to them, to encourage them to vote for a law, to write a law, or vote for a law that would overturn abortion in this state and ban abortion, abolish abortion in the state of Indiana. I wrote, now that the U.S. Supreme Court has overturned Roe versus Wade with this their recent ruling on the Dobbs case, it is high time for Indiana, on the heels of this ruling, to outlaw abortion in this state. Governor Holcomb made the following statement on Friday, June 24th. The Supreme Court's decision is clear, and it is now up to the states to address this important issue. We'll do that in short order in Indiana. I've already called the General Assembly back on July 6th. Now, that has already been changed to July 25th. And then he continues to say, and I expect members to take up this matter as well. I have been clear in stating I am pro-life. We have an opportunity to make progress in protecting the sanctity of life. That's exactly what we will do. So please make progress by requesting that the House of Representatives present HB 1282. Again, let me say that. House Bill 1282, the Life Bill, authored by Representative Kurt Knisley and co-authored by Rep. John Jacob and Zach Payne. And it was presented to the House floor, and they need to bring it back forward to the House floor for an immediate vote on July 25th so that it appears on the desk of the governor for his signature the next day. Demand that this bill not die in committee. Outlawing abortion is essential to the sanctity of life, and the authors of this bill know the urgency of the hour. It is obvious that the GOP caucus has an utter disdain for at least two of these authors of this bill, because the GOP gave $1 million to the election campaign of their opposing primary candidates. But it is time for the General Assembly to put aside their egos and pride and get down to business ending this genocide that has engulfed Indiana and this nation. Murdering the innocent unborn child is the cruelest form of genocide known to mankind. Man has not grown more civilized in this modern age of technological advances, but uncivilized, barbaric, and uncouth. The United States of America has unleashed all kinds of immoral and perverse proclivities that God hates. Indiana has a chance to quench the fiery fury of the Lord by ending once and for all abortion in Indiana, and thus repent for the innocent preborn lives that were needlessly executed. The scriptures tell us in Proverbs chapter 6, these six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, and pride and arrogancy, and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate, Proverbs 8:13 says. There's another bill that Congress is proposing, that the House is proposing, called the Coerced Abortion Bill, HB 1217. It is a bill that is meaningless and worthless, and this piece of legislation should not even be ruled upon. It is like putting a Band-Aid on a blood-gushing amputation that needs a tourniquet instead. Nothing incremental should be considered at this time in American history, especially when it comes to protecting the preborn. Act immediately to end abortion now without hesitation. Think about calling for legislation to execute the rapist instead of executing the unwanted child in the womb. Let the innocent child who is a product of rape make the final decision if they want to live or not. It is not the mother's or the doctor's decision. Adoption is the option, not abortion. If the Department of Justice executes the convicted rapist, other men will think twice about committing the same crime. The woman's choice ends at the unborn child's right to live. Human life begins at conception. This past Saturday, the pro-life crowd met peacefully at the state capitol building, but was mobbed by the pro-abortion hooligans that stormed the rally. They were completely vile, vulgar, violent, and perverse. They would not cease from screaming, yelling, and cussing at the top of their lungs. They are the most uncivilized brute beasts imaginable. They are so self-centered and fixated upon their sinful lifestyle that they have total disregard for the life of an unborn child in the womb. Abortion, which is murder, is not a constitutional right and has never been a constitutional right, no matter what the Supreme Court ruled 50 years ago. These actions and decisions are an outgrowth of zoologist Alfred Kinsey's abominable, perverse, pedophile pseudoscientific research in 1948 and 1953 that launched the sexual revolution. That man should have been thrown in jail for his research. America, including Indiana, is doomed if they continue to advance this wickedness. We as a nation have gone the way of Sodom. Had not the state troopers held back the pro-abortion crowd and curbed their violent antics, it could have been a whole different situation on the state house lawn. Violence is their agenda because they are being incited to violence by high-profile Democratic national political figures such as Chuck Schumer, Maxine Waters, and AOC. The pro-abortion crowd makes the hideous claim that pro-life means death or kills, alluding to back alley abortions that kill women, signaling that these women will get an abortion one way or the other. Such women who commit this crime should be arrested and prosecuted for murder, along with back alley doctors and accomplices. If you recall the biblical story of Lot and his family living in Sodom, you will remember that Sodom was not destroyed by fire and brimstone until Lot, his wife, and two daughters were removed from the city. Only then could God destroy the city. This is a picture of the rapture, as I had been speaking on the last two Sundays. And this is a picture that God will remove the righteous from the earth before he rains down his judgment. The same principle applies to America. The righteous saints of the Lord Jesus Christ prevent God from suddenly exterminating the children of Belial in America, including Indiana, from off the face of this terrestrial globe. The wrath of God is at a boiling point. Needless to say that God is not blessing this country, but allowing it to crumble to a sovereignless, constitutionalist, third world puppet regime of the communist globalist elite. And the GOP does not seem to want to save the sinking ship, but rather throw overboard those conscientious political pundits who have a heart to do right toward their fellow man and towards God. There are a lot of deadbeat political religionists who want to hold on to their golden parachutes at the cost of letting millions of the innocent perish. Abortion is only one of a slew of issues plaguing Indiana in this politically motivated, turbulent economy and environment that we find ourselves living in. Prophets like Jeremiah, Daniel, and Elijah may not have been popular in their day, but their names and their accomplishments have been memorialized for all eternity. And the same applies to Martin Luther, who pulled away from the Catholic Church in AD 1500, igniting the Protestant Reformation instead of kissing the ring of the Pope. Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas will be remembered as one who has saved more black lives in a single ruling than anything BLM has accomplished since its inception. Yet Justice Thomas is hated by the liberal left. Will your name and accomplishments endure the test of time? Think about the life of that child in the womb who may or may not be rescued on July 25th. Make your signature on the life bill count, not just on earth, but also in heaven. Remember, not only are the citizens of Indiana watching you, but more importantly, so is God. He has a book of remembrance. The scriptures tell us in the book of Romans, chapter 13, It says, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God." Now, if you read from one of those perverted versions of the scriptures, it will say, "Let every soul be subject unto the government." No, it says in the King James Bible, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers." That means God is called in the scriptures the highest, and that is his title in the scriptures. He is called the God of the highest. And we see in Psalms 18:13, it says, "The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the highest gave his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. The multitudes that went before and that followed cried, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." We find that in the book of Matthew on the day that Jesus rode into Jerusalem. We read in Luke chapter 1, "He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest," capital H. So God is the highest power. So that means every soul is subject to higher powers, higher authority. And those in the highest authority that man can be placed into, they are still subject to the highest power, and that is the Lord. And so the Bible versions that put government are misleading you. We are not to support every form of government that comes across the threshold of mankind, but only those governments that obey the highest power. Again, it says here in Romans chapter 13, verse 1, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil." That is a ruler who is not a tyrant. That is a ruler who's not following Satan. That is a ruler who is following the Lord and understands he is subject to God himself. He is subject to the law of God. "For rulers are not a terror to good work, but to the evil." This passage is just as important to you and I as it is to the government themselves, the government leaders, the government bureaucrats. They need to realize there's a higher law than themselves, and that God will judge them, and they are going to be held more accountable because they had a position of power. And they need to be cautious of the innocent lives that they are taking advantage of. "For the rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the powers? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good." Well, when we kick God out of the Bible, then they're not ministers of God. They're ministers of the devil, ministers of Belial. They are ministers of Satan, the leaders of this country. They have kicked God out of the country. They're screaming at the top of their lungs because of the overturning of the Roe versus Wade case and making all kinds of disruption, threatening the Supreme Court justices that ruled in this favorable ruling to overturn that Roe versus Wade. Federal government doesn't have that right to give a person a right to murder the unborn baby in their womb. That is murder. We have 50 years, 60 plus million babies have been aborted in this country. And God, that blood, the blood of those babies cry out towards heaven. Verse 4 again in Romans 13, "For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth good." This is the law for the good minister, the godly ministers, the godly servants of and government officials that fear God and fear his commandments. Because the Bible says, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. And they try to define that murdering a child in the womb is a good thing. And that is it is dealing with women's health, and that it should be justified and it should be supported by Congress, and we should support it with our tax dollars. Let me remind you, if you don't know this, but the ex-wife of Bezos just gave Planned Parenthood $275 million. $275 million. So they can lobby and put money in the pockets of politicians to vote laws to support abortion all across this country.
You have been listening to Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church. Join us every Sunday morning here on Freedom 95 at 7:30 and Sunday service at 10 a.m. Currently meeting at the Wyndham Hotel, formerly the Cambria Hotel, 13,500 Tegeler Drive, Noblesville, where you will hear the hard-hitting truths found in the Word of God, unabashedly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and his coming kingdom from the inerrant and infallible King James Bible, the true voice of freedom. If you enjoy this programming and would like to send support, please mail to P.O. Box 47201, Indianapolis, Indiana 46247-0201. Your financial support is tremendously appreciated. Email Pastor Greg at gdzula@gmail.com. That's gdzula@gmail.com. We look forward to hearing from you.